Good morning. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Special guest today. We'll get to them in just a moment. In the meantime, we'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour. If you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question live with our guest. Our guest today from the Three Rivers School District. We're reaching out today to the district's superintendent, Dave Valenzuela, and the deputy superintendent, Casey Alderson. Gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Glad to have you here this foggy morning.
Well, thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here.
All right. Let me say, first of all, congratulations. In the news recently was the news of increased graduation rates, and I know that's been a topic of a lot of conversation. First of all, congratulations. Can you explain exactly what a graduation rate is? As some people may be confused, it's not exactly a dropout rate, but a graduation rate. What goes into figuring that?
Let me know, Casey.
Okay.
So the graduation rates in Oregon are determined by the number of students that accumulate 24 credits over their 4 years of high school. And mm-hmm. So it's the number of students that start with us as incoming freshmen, and then the number of students that graduate after 4 years. That's considered a graduate. And part of that graduation rate is determined by the credits that they take. So students need 3 years of Algebra 2 and above in math. They need 4 years of English, 3 years of science, 3 years of social studies, and then electives that are kind of determined by their own needs.
All right. What can affect those graduation rates? Suppose a student comes in as a freshman or a sophomore and then moves away and you lose track. How does that affect the rate?
Yeah, so a student that starts with us their freshman year and then moves away really puts a lot of work on our counselors, our administrators, and our schools and in tracking those students down.
But you do need to track them.
We do need to track them and make sure that they land somewhere because that's the – if that student – if we don't have send records, their records to another school, that student would be considered a non-graduate for us. And they don't come off of our books until they enroll at a new school. And so sometimes we have to track them across the United States. Sometimes we track them right next door to neighboring school districts. But it is something that does affect our graduation rates is when students do move away and they don't tell us where they went. And so we put a lot of time and energy into tracking those so that they don't count against us. But every year there's four or five that we just cannot find because they don't tell us where they go. So
imagine the COVID situation really amplified your workload there.
Yeah. So during this last graduating class was really impacted by COVID, and it's probably out of any of the graduating classes that we've had, they were impacted the most. And so we did have quite a few students who did leave. Parents changed careers, changed jobs, moved, and we were forced to try to find most of those. Most of them we did find, but there are still a handful that are out there that we don't know where they landed. And so you think of a school size or a graduating class of 60 students, you lose two or three of those, and you know, you're looking at about 8% right off the top for your graduation rate.
Right, just being in attendance is part of the graduation rate, but also you outline what the students needed to accomplish in order to be counted in that way. And I imagine that's where a lot of work has been focused with Three Rivers School District. What steps have you taken to improve those graduation rates?
So we started about 6 years ago. We added a position in all three of our high schools called a graduation coach. And so that person's job is to make sure that no students fall between the cracks, and we track them from their freshman year all the way through walking across that stage to make sure that as freshmen, they're taking the right classes, that they're passing the right number of classes, that they stay on track for those 4 years. And it's really had a tremendous impact. In 2015, I believe all three of our schools were sitting in the mid-60s for their graduation rates. And now to have them up around 90% really speaks to the testament of the work that is being done in our schools.
All right. You want to pass out on the accolades to those people in each one of the schools?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give them a little recognition.
Our grad coaches, Sam Olsofsky at North Valley, Megan Brown has done quite a bit of work out at Illinois Valley, and Mrs. Wright at Hidden Valley. She's been there and has put a lot of work into tracking those students and really, really making sure that no students fall between the cracks and that they stay on track to graduate.
Well, first of all, congratulations on improving that graduation rate. And I know that's been a focus of all the local schools, and you're right now knocking on that 90% door. How does that stack up in the state of Oregon?
So all three of our regular ed high schools were above the state average. And so that's something that we really try to outline every year, and that's kind of our watermark, is to stay above the state average with that. Our alternative center, Southern Oregon Success Academy, was below the state average, but they increased by almost 20%. And so for us, that's a huge, huge accomplishment for that population. And but all three of our regular ed high schools, Hidden Valley was at 84%, Illinois Valley at 95%, North Valley at 90%. So we've really changed the culture in our schools where that 90% level is really that watermark that we strive for every year.
Now, once again, congratulations. Now, I understand that you have a goal of life-ready learners. Can you explain what exactly we're talking about? And I imagine that goes partly into the situation of graduating all of these students.
Sure. So our school board's core values, the center of what we're doing, is to graduate students. So the graduation rate is great, but graduate students that are life-ready. So what does that mean? Well, our definition of life-ready is that when a student walks across the stage in June to graduate from one of our high schools, that they're ready for whatever the world is going to throw at them July 1st, whether that's entering into the workforce here locally, trade schools, industry, or higher ed. So we're still encouraging our students to explore all those options, and higher ed being prepared for something like that is something that we're striving for. You know, there's all kinds of funny things I hear as superintendent out there in the community, like, you know, students are graduating from high school and they can't read. And to me, that's a ludicrous notion, because our students have to, like Casey was just describing, accumulate all those credits, 24 credits, which is one of the most arduous amounts of credits that any state requires of a student in the state or in the country. And so we want our students not only to be able to read, write, and do math effectively, but we want them to be able to show up to work on time, be able to stay for their whole shift, to be courteous, to be a good citizen, to help their neighbors, those kind of things. And so those are difficult to measure. They're difficult to instill, but it's still a focus of ours. When they graduate, if they came here to work with you at this radio station, Chuck, I would want you to recognize that Three Rivers graduates make great colleagues, great employees, and just good people to have in our community.
How does your curriculum affect those goals that you just outlined to us? First of all, happy to hear the focus on reading, writing, and math. But those other things that you talked about, how does your curriculum address those areas?
Well, Casey's been instrumental in developing what we're calling employability standards. And so this goes beyond how well you did in Algebra 1 or English 2. This goes into measuring those soft skills that I just described. And so I'll let Casey kind of talk about the development of those employability skills and how we're utilizing them.
Yeah, Casey.
So the employability skills we developed 7 years ago in partnership with the businesses in our community and in our region. And so we sat down at the table with them and said, okay, how can we help you create better employees? And how can we help your business be more successful in our community? And so we outlined 7 different areas, from professionalism to their ability to show up on time, to complete tasks, those types of skills that aren't often measured in one specific curriculum, but more in all of their classes. And so we developed this rubric. We use it to grade our students on, and in our career and technical ed classes. And we're proud of that partnership, because it really was in partnership with our community in determining what they needed, not just what we can provide, but what they needed too. So we really push with our students that it's not about getting the job, it's about keeping the job. And we feel those skills are what will keep them in the positions that they get into.
Is this unique to Three Rivers?
It is right now. And so we are working with other school districts in trying to kind of show off that this partnership does work with our community. And it's something that we see really taking off once they start to see the fruits of the labor and start to – when industry starts to demand our students to be better employees, we have to be able to help provide that.
Well – we're at the end of January, and just to it's a smooth transition from what you've just been talking about to the Career and Technical Education Month, and that's the month of February. So, what is going to happen special in February that's out of the norm?
So, in February, we try to highlight each one of our career and technical ed programs across our three high schools or four high schools. We offer welding and manufacturing in each of our high schools. We have construction, automotive, early childhood development, health occupations and careers, agriculture, and then business. And we believe those courses really prepare our students to really take their skills to the next level once they graduate with us. We know that those are high-wage, high-demand areas in our region, and we really want to prepare our students for leaving us. And if they go to higher education, that's great. If they go to certification route, that's great too. We just want to make sure they have the skills to be successful.
Will there be special emphasis in the month of February on those?
We will be highlighting each one of those programs and trying to increase the enrollment in each one. And sometimes students don't always know that those courses are available to them or that they may have a skill set that really is highlighted by one of those programs. So we'll try to do things around our schools to really highlight those programs and make sure every student on campus understands the value that comes from having those each one of those programs.
Fascinating. All right. Well, we're going to continue this here. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more from the Three Rivers School District right after this word. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress here. Our guest from the Three Rivers School District, Superintendent Dave Valenzuela, and the Deputy Superintendent, Casey Alderson. And, gentlemen, you have a college contact program that was launched this year where you're sending some of your high school students out to RCC to take college-level courses. Is that pushing the envelope a little bit, or are these young people ready for this?
Well, you know, this partnership is really, really valuable to us in Three Rivers School District. As you may or may not know, Three Rivers School District is a four-day school week. So our students go to school Monday through Thursday with an extended day. So our instructional minutes when compared to anyone else in the region are either the same or more. And contact minutes are slightly higher just because the way we're able to structure a longer day. But that leaves Fridays open. And so what this RCC Connect program does is allows us to continue with that future ready topic we were just talking about, giving students opportunities to experience higher ed or experience courses that would lead to a certification in automotive, welding, or something else along those lines. Because we have those Fridays as a high leverage point for our students. And so we've been working with RCC, and they've been fantastic partners. In fact, just before this show, Casey was meeting with our contact over there, and we have a new list of classes. Last semester, our class offerings with RCC were completely full, and the students did an amazing job. So pushing the envelope, yeah, we are. We're pushing the envelope in favor of our students. And we're creating an opportunity on those Fridays for students to experience something they could not experience in a traditional five-day week.
All right, with their attending to college classes on Friday, are they really achieving college credits? Is there a tuition involved? How does it all work for the student?
So they do earn college credit. They, in some cases, can earn high school credit as well. But these classes are college-level classes, and our students are taking everything from a forklift certification to a CNA class to psychology, manufacturing classes. So a lot of different types of classes for students and really trying to catch every student. The cost that is associated with it is covered by the district. Part of the high school success grant that we receive from the state, we're using those funds to help launch students into hopefully a college track or into a certification track where students can use these certifications once they get into the workforce.
transportation must fall into this somewhere, because I know that the Three Rivers School District is a large district in terms of land area. So how do you get these students back and forth? Because you've got at least three high schools far away from that campus. Tell me about the transportation and all of the logistics that have gone into making this program work, from the Illinois Valley to Hidden Valley to North Valley.
So we really want to kind of wipe out the barriers for students. And one of the things that we committed to early on was the transportation piece for our students. We don't want a student from Illinois Valley feeling like they don't have the same opportunities as a student from Hidden Valley or North Valley just because of where they live. So we do offer transportation. We have a bus that picks them up on Fridays and takes them to the Redwood campus out at RCC. And in this next semester at RCC, we'll have some classes that'll have to go to the Table Rock campus over in Central Point. And so really trying to remove those barriers and make sure that transportation is not something that will keep a student from having an opportunity to learn at a higher level.
How broad is that this school district here? How big is it? Can you give me just an example?
Sure. Yeah, Three Rivers School District is, Josephine County, right? So we serve the entire county. In fact, we have students that reside in Jackson County.
I was going to say, I think Jackson County too, right?
Yep, because Applegate School is in Jackson County, and we have some students that come over from Douglas County. And we even have a couple kids down in Del Norte County that attend Illinois Valley High School because they live right there by the border, and it's closer to come to us. So we serve students in a very vast area. It's 1,200 square miles. Our buses roll approximately 10,000 miles a day, which when you think about it, is just an incredible amount of logistics that goes into figuring out where all those kids live and all the routes and all the stops. And our partners over at First Student do a great job of working with us on making sure that we fulfill that need. But transportation, and Casey nailed it when he talked about removing barriers. Transportation is one of those key pieces that removes barriers for some of our socioeconomically challenged families. And so we spend a lot of time trying to refine that process and make sure we're running as efficiently as possible, but making sure we're not leaving anybody behind.
How does your school board go along with all of this transportation and the extra transportation with this college situation? Have they rubber stamped it? Have they said, can you save some money somewhere, or are they fully behind it?
Well, our budget committee, along with our school board, so the budget committee is just an expansion of that board. Of course, they're always trying to save money. And this is my eighth year as superintendent, and we've gone through the practice and exercise of looking at trying to be more efficient with transportation maybe 10 times in my 8 years. So it's something that we're constantly trying to do, and the board is very focused on saving money in the transportation area. But the problem, the fact that we live in a rural area, and we celebrate that. We chose to live in this rural area. It puts the problem right in front of us, and it's something we just have to solve every year. And it's not something that I don't think we can eliminate or overcome it by elimination. We just have to keep trying to be as efficient as we can with routes, talking to First Student about more efficient buses, those kind of things. That's the only way we're going to save money in the realm of transportation. Our four-day week obviously helps with that. If we roll 10,000 miles a day, eliminating 1 week of or 1 day of that transportation liability.
That's a lot of miles.
It's a lot of miles. And it frees up our opportunities to provide programs like the RCC Connect, because now our buses are free to go and do some of those special routes. And we're hoping to expand opportunities like this into Fridays, where maybe middle school students have opportunities to do something that's more and extended. Same with our elementary.
Talking about transportation and the vast area that Three Rivers covers, inclement weather must be a situation that you must deal with more often than we could think of.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, I used to love a snow day when I was a kid, for sure. And these days, when I get a weather forecast from you telling me that it might snow in the morning, that just means I got to go to bed extra early, because we get up about 3 o'clock and we start a phone tree. So Casey and I will be texting each other about 3. We'll be looking at all of our school security cameras to see what the weather's actually doing in real time. And then we also work with First Student. They put buses out on the road when we have the idea that there's going to be inclement weather. So they put buses out on the road about 3 o'clock as well. Yeah, it's a challenge, because we have 3 different communities and 3 different climates, essentially. It can be snowing like crazy in the Illinois Valley, and I could call a snow day and show up to my office in Murphy, and it'll be sunny when I get there. And I get a lot of calls about that, let me tell you. But we do our best, and so we just keep our eye on the forecast, and we appreciate you keeping us apprised of the weather, and then we make the best decision we can to keep everybody safe.
Well, I'm hoping that we're a resource for you. Any other resources? You're dealing with the bus company and what you see there. Do you get any other impact from, I don't know, the state troopers or ODOT?
Well, actually, we have a really good partnership with the National Weather Service, and so their office out of Medford will actually meet with local superintendents the night before at 5 o'clock, and they'll give us like their best estimate of what's going to happen in the next day. And then they'll also send out information in the mornings really early to let us know what they're experiencing across the region. So they can give us information, really specific information, like we're going to see this in the Grants Pass area, but you'll experience something much different in the Cave Junction area. So they're a real valuable resource to us as well.
Fascinating conversation so far. I'm learning a lot about Three Rivers School District, and we're coming up to the top of the hour news here in just a moment or two. We'll remind you that you can make some phone calls after the top of the hour. It's 541-472-1270, and we'll let you air your question live. In the meantime, next hour we'll talk about some of the facilities throughout the Three Rivers School District, what lies ahead for this vital school district right here in Southern Oregon. You're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and heard all around the world on KAJO.com. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue and we'll put you on the air live. And our guest today, the superintendent for the Three Rivers School District, Dave Valenzuela, and the deputy superintendent, Casey Alderson, both in studio with us today. And we've talked about some of the great things that have come out of that school district. And let's talk about, of course, it's a huge school district, and the facilities there must weigh heavily on everybody's mind every year. Because just of the weather and the environment and what's going on with it, what are the facilities like throughout your school district right now?
Well, it's a challenge. So, the difference, we talked a little bit about celebrating our ruralness, right? We really value living in a rural school district and having small rural schools, but that also means we have a lot of them. We have a whole bunch of schools spread out all over the place. And so our maintenance department does an amazing job of trying to keep these facilities up to a standard that's acceptable for students, right? I want a place that students want to go and learn and feel good about. And that's a significant challenge. Now, the state of Oregon does not provide schools with capital improvement dollars in the state school fund. The only money that we get from the state is for operational costs. So that's paying the employees, keeping the lights on, making sure the place is heated. If you want to build a school, that's entirely up to local options tax. So that's a bond that you would go out for, and the voters in that community would say either yes or no to.
So do we need to build some more?
Well, we don't need to build a school right now. What I'm interested in is protecting the investments that we have. I just met someone here in the office when I showed up today for the show that graduated from Hidden Valley High School the first year they were in operation. Now, that school has been open for 49 years. Illinois Valley High School has been open for 51 years. So these schools are really, really pushing the limit of the life of a commercial building. Our newest buildings, Fruitdale Elementary School, which is right down the road here from the studio, and Lorna Byrne Middle School are 21 years old. Now, in any commercial roof warranty that you get these days, it's 20 years max. So our newest buildings, the roofs have exceeded the 20-year mark. And so what we're looking to do right now is, from a responsibility lens that I have to this community, is to protect the investments that we've already made. So protect the schools that are standing right now. If I wanted to build a school, Chuck, today, let's say if I wanted to rebuild Illinois Valley High School, it would be no less than $125 million to do that. Now, I know that this community in this current financial climate, that they're not ready for that. They could not support that at this time. So I'm going to be asking them here in the near future to support just protecting what we've got. We just re-roofed Illinois Valley High School this last summer. We did that by paying half of it with savings. So savings is a kind of a misnomer. That's the money that we would use to build our budget every year. So that's money that's not going to go into a classroom or increase our teaching staff or anything like that. That went to the roof at Illinois Valley High School, and we financed half of that. And that was that cost us right about $2.5 million to do that project. We have 18 more buildings that are in dire need of a complete roof renovation. Now, 13 of those are instructional sites, and then we have like warehouse and maintenance and those kind of buildings as well. But they all need to be protected if we're going to carry out the functions of the school district.
You said dire need. I went to the safety of the students. Explain dire need for these schools.
Well, dire need is what prompted us to go and take money out of savings and finance half of the IV project, because in that example, we literally had classrooms that had water features in them that were not intentional. So when it would rain, there would be trash cans scattered throughout the school that would catch the rain coming through the roof, because we had so many leaks. We would patch one, and that water's really aggressive, and it's going to find a new place to come into the school. And we have that situation in several of our schools. In fact, in our district office, we just had a board meeting the other night, and I had to move the trash can right before the people came in because it was catching rain that was falling in our middle of our boardroom. That's the truth in all of our buildings. We have leaks that we're just chasing year after year, and that water continues to find a way. And so when you think about that, we talked about this graduation rate, and we talked about life-ready learning. Those are big challenges, and we are creating an environment where a student comes into a school, they see a trash can catching water, and the ceiling has all these stains in it. It's just not what we want for our students.
Well, as a parent, I'm suddenly concerned about my students' safety also. And I might look for another way to get that education for my student. So how are you dealing with that right now? How do you reassure the parents?
Well, we've got, like I said, we have a pretty
lots of trash cans.
An impressive maintenance staff and people that are becoming experts on roofing and roof repair. And we have some really good partnerships here with some local industry and helping us with that. At this point, I don't feel like there's a safety issue, but there's something about pride when a student goes into their school and, you know, water is falling from the ceiling. There's also the issue of this can't go on forever. You know, if my roof is leaking at home, I'm going to be really concerned about dry rot and, you know, the structure and foundation of my home being compromised. That's the same with our schools. And what happens when a section of North Valley High School becomes unsafe and we have to shut it down? And that takes away from opportunities from students. The state is not going to step in and give us the money for that, maybe insurance or some other way. But if we're going to take responsibility for it, we have to talk to our community and ask them for some help with that.
Are we to that point where we're going to ask for help?
We certainly are. A few years ago, we asked for a bond from the voters of Josephine County, and it was an $84 million bond, and it got shut down pretty readily. It was no question that it wasn't, the community wasn't ready for that. This year, we're coming in with a much different ask. So the board will decide on February 21st whether or not to go out for bond. And if they do, they're going to be going out for a $39 million bond. Last time we had several different projects on the list and things that students need. But this time it's more about what we need to stay in business. And it's two things. And it's going to be a roofing ask. We're going to ask that we re-roof the school district, and that's a $34 million ask. And we applied for and did receive an Oregon Awesome grant, which will give us an additional $5.4 million on top of that $39 million ask. And so what that will do is give us $34 million for roofs and $10.5 million for safety and security upgrades. And when I talk about safety and security upgrades, I'm not talking about the roof falling in. I'm talking about making sure our campuses have people on them that are supposed to be on them. Students, staff, parents, volunteers, and no one else. So in this country, as you know, safety and security has become an increasingly large concern for school districts, making sure that we don't have people coming onto our campus that intend to do students and staff harm. And right now, I talk about the age of our buildings. When we built Illinois Valley High School 51 years ago, this wasn't a concern in this country. And now it is. But we didn't build schools with that intention. And so we have to make some modifications to make sure that our students can be safe and our staff can remain safe too. That would be like hardening of our campuses, putting in fencing, physical barriers, and changing some door locks and mechanisms. We're looking at access control, like buzz-in features. And so a parent or a visitor can come to a school, buzz in, and we can make sure that that person's supposed to be there, and then unlock the door remotely. Increased lighting, cameras, so we can see who's coming onto our campuses, and local law enforcement support. So, you know, putting some money towards having our partners with Josephine County Sheriff, increasing that relationship and doing some things there.
All right, let's deal first with the bond that you're going to ask for in the spring. I'm assuming that would come up on the May ballot?
It would.
If the board decides to do that.
That's right. If the board decides, it would be in the May ballot.
All right. How will that affect your average taxpayer out there? Do you have any numbers for
you
us
bet.
Here?
Great question. So we were asking for, like I said, a $39 million bond for a 15-year term. That would be about 55 cents per thousand for the local taxpayer here in Southern Oregon.
So 55 cents per $1,000 of your assessed evaluation.
Correct.
And this is just for and this is countywide, not for the city of Grants Pass. Is that right?
That's right. Just countywide.
Okay, yeah. So if you live in the county, that's what you're looking at, and there are reasons for that. So suddenly I'm concerned about North Valley. Now, tell me about the security measures that you have in place right now. And once again, that is certainly an ongoing situation here that at this stage, I hate to say it, but it's getting worse.
It is getting worse, and it's one of those things, a goal of ours, and it will never be a goal that we achieve or accomplish, but because it's ongoing, we're constantly looking at safety and security. So we have, like I said, a super strong relationship with Josephine County Sheriff, and Dave Daniel has been a great partner to Three Rivers School District. We have a school resource officer, Deputy Kanizny, who is right now in one of our schools patrolling the hallways and making sure that the people that are there are supposed to be there. He's also worked with us and one of our staff on creating a really, really robust and comprehensive safety committee team. And so we run lockdown drills in all of our schools a minimum of 3 times per year. In fact, yesterday we were just dealing one at Madrona Elementary School. They went through a lockdown. And those teachers are now trained to – and students are trained to respond when we say that there's a lockdown. They know the procedures to lock, how to lock their door, minimize visibility, and they even barricade their doors. So if an intruder does bypass a lock, they still have a lot to get through because those students and staff now are trained to put up locks, put up barricades, make sure that it is difficult for me to get in that classroom if I'm not supposed to be there. That ongoing training takes place all the time. We have some increased technology, so we have alert systems. If there's a lockdown right now, our phones will start going off like crazy, even though they're on silent because of the show, and it'll let us know what's happening at what school, and that also goes to law enforcement. We have a district-wide radio system, so that's been a huge technological advance we've made to where I can get a radio call from Illinois Valley High School right now, so we can overcome that distance with some new technology we have there. But our safety committee is actually giving me the firm recommendation for what the bond would be in addition to what I just listed this week on Friday, and that's what the board will then either approve or not approve on the 21st, and that's what the voters will get a chance to either say yes to or no to in May.
All right, something really jumped out at me here, and I've had Sheriff Daniel into the studio. We know what the Sheriff's Department has been facing, and thank goodness that there's more coming his way. But you have at least 3 high schools, widespread middle schools. Did I understand you have 1 school safety officer?
That's correct. We have 1.
And he travels from place
SRO.
To place?
That is right. He picks an area on any given day, and he goes to those schools in that area. So like if he's in Cave Junction, he's going to Illinois Valley High School, Lorna Byrne Middle School, and Evergreen Elementary School, and he's looking for weak spots. He's looking to see what staff's behavior is like. He's looking to see what people are there, and he's talking to staff, and he's training them constantly. And he's making good relationships with students too. That's an important part, that relationship with our local law enforcement. But, yeah, 1 guy – to take care of the 1,200 square miles of space that we have.
I hope he's fleet of foot.
he's nimble, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, but we do know that you get a lot of response if something does happen. We've seen lockdowns happen a couple of times. Thank goodness everything has been safe so far. What about the ingoing training inside, just the lockdown and the safety in the classroom? Any specifics that you can share with us, or is that something you'd like to keep under your vest?
Well, yeah, we don't talk about the necessarily put out there exactly what staff are going to do, because then that could be information for someone that wants to come and do us harm. But those internal processes are ever-changing. And all of our schools are a little different. So what our behavior looks like at Fruitdale down the road, because it's a newer campus and it has a lot – it's a lot easier to secure. In fact, at Fruitdale right now, there's probably one unlocked door that you would have to enter through. And so that's one point of entry that they have to monitor. Some of our other schools, like Madrona, they're all exterior-facing classrooms. So you have to go outside to go anywhere. So that creates a challenge, and so our training and our response is a little different at each school.
I appreciate you bringing a Fruitdale school and mentioning that in particular, because that seems to be in an area of concern locally. So you do have specific guidelines at Fruitdale School to keep that school safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're working with the City of Grants Pass to make sure that the homeless population in the Fruitdale Park don't come into the school, which is right adjacent to Fruitdale Elementary. We're still trying to come to some kind of resolution there. At this point, there is none. We are just elevated vigilance. We are watching that. Our SRO, which is Josephine County, goes to Fruitdale, even though that's city. And the City of Grants Pass is great. The Grants Pass City PD has been amazing on responding and coming there in the mornings and making sure that there's no interaction between the homeless population and our students being dropped off. We would love to put a barrier up, a fence, or some kind of divide that keeps the homeless folks where they're supposed to be and our students safe on our side of the fence. But at this point, we don't have that. We don't have that green light to do that yet. So,
the green light, is that just the authority to do it or the funds to do it?
The authority, yeah. Mm-hmm. We would find the funds to do it today if we could do it. But that is Grants Pass City Parks property, actually, and so we don't. I don't go building fence on my neighbor's property.
Yeah, I understand that. Interesting situations that you face here. We're going to continue with this in just a moment. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
It's time to...
Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show. Final stages of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Still time for a phone call if you have a question or comment for our guest. Pardon me. Number is 541-472-1270. Once again, our guest... Three Rivers School District Superintendent Dave Valenzuela and the Deputy Superintendent Casey Alderson are here with us. We've been talking most recently about some funds the school district's going to ask for and the security there. And you've raised some real concerns in my mind. So can you reassure me now as a parent or a grandparent that when I turn my child over to the Three Rivers School District, everything that can be done is being done?
Absolutely. And that's something that weighs heavily on my mind is that if there were ever a situation where someone tried to come onto our campus, and it's happened, you know, where we've had some concerns about people in the vicinity of a school, that our staff knows what to do and that we've prepared our facilities as best we can to make sure that we can put a barrier between someone trying to get onto campus and not. And so at this point today, I feel like we are doing everything we can to keep our students safe. Now, there is a lot more we can do, and that's where this $10.5 million will come in, you know, where we can actually change the physical structure of a school to keep it feeling like a school for a five-year-old that's coming onto campus for kindergarten, but also keeps anyone that's not supposed to be coming onto that campus off of campus. And so it's a huge thing. But, yes, we keep safety at the forefront of all of what we do as an administrative team, and our teachers are doing really hard, are a really good job of training as well as all of our staff. And so, yeah, I can say we are doing everything we can at this point. We're not ignoring it.
Hidden Valley High School comes to mind, and the reason it comes to mind is it appears that it's got a huge, huge campus butted up right against a mountain, a forested mountain that could not only conceal intruders, but cougars and bears, and I hate to say lions and tigers and bears, but it's a fun phrase to say.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that we've taken precautions there to monitor those areas?
We do, and we have one of the things that we're trying to do is increase our camera presence, but we have cameras in some of these blind spots that you're describing, like Hidden Valley's back area. We have cameras that are monitored, so we have them up in our offices, and so people can – our school staff can keep an eye on some of those spaces that are maybe a little anonymous, and so we're really working on – finding those. As we cover one space with a camera, we discover that there's another space we can't see. So we continue to increase that presence. So.
All right. We're coming down to the end of our program right now. Once again, I've got about 3 minutes left, and Dave or Casey, either one, step in. And what should people take away from today's program in terms of what's happening with the Three Rivers School District?
Well, I think, you know, Casey talked a lot about the successes that we're experiencing right now, and that's what people really want to hear.
Scholastically impressive.
Scholastically impressive, and we are working on more of that today. We met with RCC today. I'm going to Hidden Valley right after this to work with their staff on continuous improvement. And to continue to do that good work with students, we need to provide them with an environment that is safe, but also dry. And so one of the things I hear in our community is, well, why haven't you taken better care of your facilities? Well, they're 50 years old. We've done the best we can. And then why don't you go get grants? And we have. We've received multiple grants. In fact, we've received a seismic upgrade grant that provides roofing for a small percentage of the school at Applegate School, Illinois Valley, Hidden Valley, Fleming, and Evergreen. And we're currently applying for more schools this round. So we are continuously looking for other ways to fund these projects. It just doesn't add up to enough. And so we're working hard on finding other money, and we're trying to be fiscally responsible. And I just want to keep our kids dry and safe so they can continue to graduate at 90-plus percent.
Competition for those grants must be intense.
It is, and we have amazing folks in our office that know how to write those grants, and the age of our building puts us ahead of a lot of school districts.
Okay. If people have questions about either for you or Casey, about either safety or the buildings or security or scholastics or even the curriculum, how do I get in touch with you?
Chuck, you can get a hold of me at 541-862-3111. Extension 5222. And I am always open for anybody that wants to come talk about our school district because, we're super transparent about what we do in Three Rivers School District, and we're proud of what we're doing in Three Rivers School District.
All right, we have 30 seconds. Casey, you want to say bye?
I want to say bye, but I also want to thank you, Chuck, for the work that you're doing here and giving us this opportunity to let the public know the great things that we're doing and that we are giving them something that they could be proud of in the students that we're producing.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time today. Once again, the superintendent for the Three Rivers School District, Dave Valenzuela, and the deputy superintendent, Casey Alderson, here in our studios today. Once again, we want to thank you very much. And I'll get that phone number one more time, 541-862-3111, extension 5222. And Dave will answer the phone.
You got it.
There it is.
All right. Chuck.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. To all of you, stay tuned. News coming up from the Salem Radio Network after this important message.
Grants Pass brought.